Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 425, titled Closing the Ring, an update on September 11th. This is being recorded on September 22nd of 2003. A couple of points of information. WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. Recent programs streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows at a longer URL linked to both the wfmu.org/Dave Emery website and to the Real Audio equipped For the Record section of the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com. Now note that Spitfire is a CD distribution and duplication service that stocks the various tapes and lectures that I've done, various programs and lectures that I've done over the years. You can reach them by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Their email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E-L-I-S-T.com. It's very important that listeners be aware of the fact that on the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, again at spitfirelist.com, and that website is equipped with Real Audio, so the most recent pair of half-hour segments are available within a couple of days of their recording on the Spitfire website. Be aware that I've been writing long, detailed, annotated descriptions of the For the Record programs, often with text excerpts more often than not, with text excerpts in the descriptions, so that listeners who find this admittedly very pedantic form of broadcasting to be kind of difficult to grasp on a casual listening should be sure to visit the For the Record section of the Spitfire website and access the descriptions. That way you can quite literally read all about it. People are frequently asking me when I'm going to be doing some writing. Well, I've been doing an awful lot of writing, and it's available for free online. It's as far away as the nearest computer. Okay, so do check that out. Also, looking to improve the admittedly pedantic style of this program, I'm going to be concentrating on reading the text, and I'm not going to be worrying so much about giving the various numbers of the For the Record programs that are relevant to the subject material. For one thing, there are so many of them, in particular in connection with the events of September 11th, that it's probably, at least on air, a meaningless exercise. But please use the web. The documentation is on the web, and if some of the things that I say sound ridiculous or crazy, what have you, I can appreciate that. The documentation is there, and I think that if listeners want to take the time to peruse the documentation, I think people are going to get a whole lot more out of this. But I'm not going to make specific references to programs. There are many subjects that I'm going to be getting to that I have deferred in consideration of the momentous events in and around September 11th. I have already covered some of those. I will be getting to others, but the hits just keep on coming with September 11th, and there are some really, really important developments in connection with the investigation of September 11th, and in particular with regard to the investigation of the milieu of the Operation Green Quest raids from March 20th of 2002, and with regard to a very important investigation that is being conducted by Judge Baltazar Garzón in Spain. Judge Garzón is a very heroic crusading jurist who has achieved a fair amount of publicity in connection with his investigations into the Argentine junta, the related Operation Condor assassination program that overlaps fascist elements around the world, including some associated elements in U.S. intelligence. Judge Garzón was noted for his indictment of Augusto Pinochet some years back. And Judge Garzón last week indicted some 35 alleged al-Qaeda members, including Osama bin Laden himself and a journalist with Al Jazeera, And these investigations into the Muslim Brotherhood may very well, Judge Garzon's indictments, that is, may very well have included members of the Al-Taqwa Network. I've spoken about that before. That is a Muslim Brotherhood slash Islamo-fascist network that appears to have been heavily involved with not only the milieu of September 11th, but also with the milieu of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and a number of other organizations as well. Now, in For the Record 391, I have put together a detailed synopsis of the various points of information from September 11th. I've done a huge number of programs with a massive amount of information. And if people want to flesh out their understanding, again, the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there is an overview, long and detailed, in FTR 391. I periodically update that, and in turn, the various points of information are annotated there. The various programs are annotated there, and listeners can either listen to those on the WFMU website, order them from Spitfire, and or read the descriptions, note the documentation, and do whatever they can to disseminate it. But please use the web, because I'm not going to be taking the time, not going to be interrupting the discussion in order to annotate some of the references. And for casual and or newer listeners, many of the things that I say may be somewhat incomprehensible. Certainly names like Youssef Nada, Ahmed Huber, Al-Taqwa, these are not things one normally hears about. There are many programs about those, including discussion of the strong links, ideological and historical slash operational, between the fascist powers of Europe, the Third Reich in particular, and the Muslim Brotherhood, links between the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. And I want to note that, again, those are on in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. Also, there are three excellent papers available on the web. These deal with the Al-Taqwa milieu. They are authored by the brilliant Kevin Coogan, last name C-O-O-G-A-N. And my use of Kevin's material should not be misunderstood as constituting an endorsement on Kevin's part for the working hypothesis presented on September 11th. Do a search on Kevin Coogan's name. Do a Google search again, Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Coogan, C-O-O-G-A-N, and you will come to the Oracle Syndicate website, and there are three very important papers by Kevin Coogan. One of them is called The Mysterious Ahmed Huber, Friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden. That was originally published in Hitlist magazine. There is also a sidebar article from that same issue of that same magazine called Ahmed Huber and the Avalon Gemeinschaft and the Swiss New Right, and a very, very important essay about the Swiss book called Schmutzige Geschäfte und Heiliger Krieg, or Holy War and Dirty Business, by Johannes and Hermania von Donani. That paper is called Islamists, Al-Taqwa, and the Far Right. And so in order to understand how Islamists and explicitly fascist elements hook up and the connections, the institutional and operational connections for those, in addition to the Spitfire website, do note, do a Google search on Kevin Coogan's name and check out those three very important papers. And again, that shouldn't be misunderstood as constituting an endorsement on Kevin's part for the hypothesis I present here on September 11th. Now, Judge Garzon, who again has achieved quite a bit of notoriety for his fearless prosecution of fascist elements around the world, has now indicted 35 members, alleged members of Al-Qaeda, including an Al Jazeera journalist and Osama bin Laden, and possibly people from the Al-Taqwa Network. I heard a broadcast that said that among the indictees was a Swiss businessman. I suspect that referred to Youssef Nada of Al-Taqwa, possibly to Ahmed Huber, but we'll see. In any event, an article that notes the link-up between the Operation Green Quest raids and Judge Garzon's investigation. This particular article is on the MSNBC.com website. It's a Newsweek web exclusive. It's by Michael Isikoff and Mark Hosenball of Newsweek. It's called Jihad's Long Reach, a 75-year-old radical organization that intelligence agencies had once discounted is very much alive and in al-Qaeda's corner. By the way, a very good book before I get into this article is Dollars for Terror by Richard Labeyrière, published in French in 1999 and in English in 2000 by Algora Publishers. Again, Jihad's Long Reach by Michael Isikoff and Mark Hosenball, Newsweek web exclusive. This is Dateline September 17th, and it is on the MSNBC website, and it reads as follows. A pair of investigations in the United States and Spain is bringing new attention to the hidden role played by a secretive group called the Muslim Brotherhood in supporting radical terror networks. The Brotherhood has a rich history of fomenting mayhem throughout the Middle East. It first popped up in Egypt more than 75 years ago, dedicated to overthrowing that country's government and replacing it with a strict Islamic state. Later, the group fell off the radar screens of Western intelligence agencies, but the Brotherhood has hardly disappeared. In fact, recent investigations and newly obtained court documents suggest that the Brotherhood is very much alive and active, and that its members have played important roles in the financing and support of terror groups that include both al-Qaeda and Hamas. The Brotherhood, quote, is the mother of all Islamic movements, unquote, says Mamoun Fandi, F-A-N-D-Y, a widely respected Arab scholar who recently gave lengthy testimony about the organization to the National Commission investigating the September 11th terror attacks. But U.S. officials have little understanding of how the Brotherhood operates and how widespread its influence is among radical Islamic groups, Fandi adds. Quote, they, U.S. law enforcement agencies, just see a piece here and a piece there. They don't have a clue, unquote. Some of the most striking new evidence about the Brotherhood's octopus-like connections have surfaced only in the past few days as part of the cases against Solomon Biheri, an Egyptian-born businessman who has been arrested by federal agents investigating a murky web of Islamic charities based in Herndon and Falls Church, Virginia, that are allegedly linked to terrorism and money laundering. Biheri, that's by the way spelled B-I-H-E-I-R-I, beginning again, Biheri has been detained on immigration charges. No terrorism charges have been filed against him, and his lawyer has denied any connection to terrorism. But to make their case that Biheri should be detained pending trial, federal prosecutors last week portrayed Biheri as the U.S. banker of the Muslim Brotherhood, linked him to a leading Muslim Brotherhood cleric in the Middle East, and described apparent connections to Al-Taqwa, a Swiss-based financial network whose assets have been frozen by the U.S. Treasury Department, and which investigators believe functions as the central bank for the Muslim Brotherhood. To make their case that Biheri should be detained pending trial, federal prosecutors last week portrayed Biheri as the U.S. banker of the Muslim Brotherhood, linked him to a leading Muslim Brotherhood cleric in the Middle East, and described apparent connections to Al-Taqwa, a Swiss-based financial network whose assets have been frozen by the U.S. Treasury Department, and which investigators believe functions as the central bank for the Muslim Brotherhood. At the same time, a Spanish investigation into Al-Qaeda operations in that country has run up against a parallel and possibly overlapping network of Muslim Brotherhood members. Overseen by that country's crusading jurist, Baltasar Garzon, the Spanish inquiry has laid out an elaborate terror conspiracy that includes the ferrying of cash from Spain to al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. One alleged player, a jailed Syrian-born Al Jazeera correspondent named Taizur Aluni, is identified in a Spanish police report obtained by Newsweek as, quote, a person strongly connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. And some of his associates are strongly suspected Brotherhood members as well. According to Fondi, or just what is the Muslim Brotherhood and what does it believe? According to Fondi and others, the Brotherhood is the precursor of Al-Qaeda and many other now active Islamic terror groups. Hamas is described in a November 5, 2001 FBI memo as the, quote, Palestinian offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. Founded in the Egyptian coastal city of Ismailia in 1928, the group was committed to purging that country of all Western influences, including any traces of democracy or liberal values that would undermine the goal of a global Islamic theocracy. Evicted from Egypt by that country's president, Abdel Gamal Nasser, Muslim Brotherhood members migrated to Saudi Arabia, where, according to Fondi, they gained major influences in the country's educational institutions and were responsible for radicalizing Saudi students. Osama bin Laden's number two in Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, was once strongly identified with the Muslim Brotherhood. A prime example of the Brotherhood's continued influence, says Fondi, can be seen through the activities of Sheikh Youssef al-Qaradawi, a highly visible Egyptian cleric who, from his current base in Qatar, makes regular appearances on the talk shows of Al Jazeera. Fondi says Qaradawi has strong influence over the hiring of Al Jazeera correspondents. Qaradawi's stature is such that he was a featured speaker last year at a national festival on heritage and culture in Saudi Arabia that was publicly welcomed by that country's de facto ruler, Crown Prince Abdullah. But court documents in the Beheri case paint a very different picture of Qaradawi. They identify him as a high-ranking member of the Muslim Brotherhood who has been banned by the State Department from entering the United States and who has issued fatwas or religious rulings legitimizing the use of suicide bombings by Hamas and attacks on U.S. military forces in Iraq. Quote, "Those killed fighting the American forces are martyrs, given their good intentions," unquote. Qaradawi was quoted as telling a Middle East newspaper earlier this year about the war in Iraq, according to a court affidavit released last week by a U.S. customs agent who described Beheri's connections with Qaradawi. By the way, there are some excerpts from a Wall Street Journal article from September 15th in the description for the Record program 423, though that article was not in the original broadcast of 423, but is in the description. Speaking of this customs agent, David Kane, the customs agent, David Kane, also quoted from another speech that Qaradawi once gave to a Muslim group in Toledo, Ohio in 1995 that may be illustrative of his thinking. Qaradawi, invoking early Islamic teachings, told his audience that, quote, "You shall continue to fight the Jews and they will fight you until the Muslims will kill them. And the Jew will hide behind the stone in the tree and the stone in the tree will say, O servant of Allah, O Muslim, this is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. The resurrection will not come before this happens." In his affidavit, Kane said that Beheri, who has been jailed on immigration charges, maintained a listing for Qaradawi in the contacts folder of his laptop. When questioned by federal agents, Beheri acknowledged that he knew Qaradawi well and considered him one of the most respected clerics in the Middle East, as well as a high-ranking member of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to Kane's affidavit. The affidavit also identified Qaradawi as one of the largest shareholders and a board member of Al-Taqwa, the Swiss and Bahamian-based financial network. Several Al-Taqwa or Fear of God principals, including the network's founder, Youssef Nada, and one of its directors, a Swiss-born Muslim convert named Ahmed Huber, have been slapped with terrorist designations by both the United States and the United Nations. Though Huber and Nada have denied financing terrorism, U.S. Treasury officials publicly accused Al-Taqwa of supporting Al-Qaeda and accused Nada in congressional testimony of providing financial support to the bin Laden network. The Taqwa case indicates how the Brotherhood sometimes maintained contacts with Islamic regimes of all stripes. Several U.S. investigators told Newsweek that in a raid on facilities used by Nada in Switzerland and Italy, they came up with a picture of Nada together with Saddam Hussein. Nada's lawyers have acknowledged that their client was friendly with top Iraqis. Meanwhile, in an interview with Newsweek, Huber acknowledged maintaining close contacts with both European neo-Nazi activists and with the government of Iran, whose late revolutionary leader Ayatollah Khomeini was a Huber acquaintance. I'd also add that Huber and Nada were both very familiar with members of the bin Laden family, and that Al-Taqwa was sponsored in part by the bin Ladens. And I would also note that Yosef Nada allegedly worked for German intelligence in World War II and is alleged in one report to have helped the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, an SS major, a prime Axis spy, the recruiter of at least three Muslim Waffen-SS divisions to fight on behalf of the Third Reich, and also Yasser Arafat's mentor, distant uncle by marriage, and the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement. Is alleged in one Asian Times article that Yosef Nada helped the Grand Mufti escape from Germany after World War II. Now, I want to note that this is a very complex milieu, and that in addition to its Axis connections and overtly fascist economic policy, the Islamo-fascist Muslim Brotherhood has extended around the world, and that when one is looking at the Al-Taqwa milieu, one is also looking at the milieu that was busted in the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. And as we've seen in many programs, the Operation Green Quest raids also uncovered direct links between the Al-Taqwa / Al-Qaeda milieu and the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, the ethnic branch of the GOP, specifically the Islamic Institute, headed by Grover Norquist and Jamal Barzinji, and founded by Norquist, Barzinji, Talat Altman, a director of Harkin Energy, close ally of the Bush family, and a man who gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in 2000. The Islamic Institute was founded with the aid of Karl Rove, and one of the directors of the Islamic Institute, one of its founders, was Jamal Barzinji. Jamal Barzinji, as we will see, is a part and parcel to the Al-Taqwa Network, the Islamo-Fascist Muslim Brotherhood financial organization. And in addition, Jamal Barzinji was connected to the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, another apparent Al-Qaeda-linked organization. That organization had as its American director from its founding or establishment in the United States, Abdullah bin Laden, a brother of Osama bin Laden, and one of the members of the bin Laden family who was flown out of the United States by the Bush administration within days of the September 11th attacks, when American civilians could not fly. As we looked at in For the Record 423, the evacuation of the bin Laden family members and other Saudis was approved from the highest levels of the White House. So again, in connection with Operation Green Quest, bear in mind that as we saw in 356, FTR 356, Talat Altman, political ally, business partner, and ideological mentor to a certain extent to the Bush family, interceded with the former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill on behalf of the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids. He did so on April 4th, of 2002, that as reported in FTR 356, specifically on page A4 of the Wall Street Journal of April 18th of 2002. And again, having a Bush family ally, director of Harkin Energy, one of the founding directors of the Islamic Institute, which in turn overlaps the GOP in a big way, having him intercede on behalf of the targets of the Green Quest raids is most notable and has not been discussed. There is a very important book by someone who is quite well known at this point to people who have followed the Operation Green Quest raids. She is a woman who went undercover and infiltrated the Al-Qaeda / Al-Taqwa Muslim Brotherhood milieu in the United States. She has published a very important book. She has done so anonymously simply because she is married, has children, and does not want to maximize the danger to her or her family from the very, very dangerous people that might want to retaliate for her work. But it was the work of this woman, originally from Iraq, a Jewish woman, who spoke Arabic and went undercover to infiltrate the radical Islamic groups in the United States. The documentation from her investigation helped to precipitate the Operation Green Quest raids in connection with the heroic efforts of John Loftus, whom it has been my privilege to interview on these airwaves. We will, for the balance of this side and for a nice chunk of the second side, be looking at this book. It's called Terrorist Hunter. I know who the woman is, and people familiar with the Green Quest raids know who she is, but it is the author is anonymous here, and I'm going to respect that anonymity in light of the danger. But again, this is hardly an anonymous person. To those in the know, and those who aren't in the know don't necessarily need to know, and it could be dangerous for this woman or her family. This book was published by HarperCollins in hardcover in 2003. The ISBN number is 0-06-05-2819-2. And The Terrorist Hunter by Anonymous discusses the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002 and the major focal point of those raids and a prominent area of overlap between, on the one hand, the Al-Qaeda / Al-Taqwa / Muslim Brotherhood milieu and the Republicans GOP ethnic outreach organization. And the network here is the SAR network, located at 555 Grove Street in Herndon, Virginia. Check the web for documentation. And we're going to begin with a discussion of the SAR network and Terrorist Hunter. And again, people familiar with the Green Quest raids know who she is, but simply in deference to the risk she has taken, I'm not going to go out of my way to publicize her name for those who don't know who she is. Talking about the SAR network, which directly overlaps the Saudi elite, people who are political allies and business partners of the Bush milieu, this is the SAR network, S-A-A-R, talked about in, for the record, 353, 356, and later programs. 382, by the way, talks about that at considerable length. SAR wasn't a what. It was a who. SAR, Sheikh Suleiman Abdul Aziz al-Raji, or his brother, Saleh Abdul Aziz al-Raji. Two Saudi tycoons among the richest people on earth. This was my missing link, my clue, my open sesame to Alibaba's secret cave. Al-Raji was behind it all along, behind SAR, behind the International Institute of Islamic Thought, behind 555 Grove Street, behind the devious and elusive multi-billion-dollar enterprise that funneled money to some of the world's most dangerous terrorist groups. I wasn't sure whether it was Saleh or Suleiman who gave SAR its name. Perhaps it was both. It made little difference to me. These two men were the main players in the al-Raji empire that created 555. We're going to continue with this story in the second half of the broadcast. WFMU archiving the For the Record shows, recent programs streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows for download only at a longer URL. The Spitfire website features detailed annotated descriptions of the For the Record shows to sort of flesh out your understanding. Check it out. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 425, Closing the Ring, an update on September 11th, being recorded on September 22nd of 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.